Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
This episode is brought to you by Boar's Head Sweet Bee's Honey Barbecue Glazed Chicken. It's their sweet, smoky, slow-roasted ode to the legends of barbecue, sliced fresh at the deli.
These are slow-roasted chicken breasts with a hickory-smoked flavor, tumbled in a barbecue rub blend, and finished with a natural wildflower honey glaze.
Inspired by the masters of barbecue and crafted by the master of the deli. Get Boar's Head Sweet Bee's Honey Barbecue Glazed Chicken only at your local deli counter.
So I'm at the home studio with Morgan, who's Morgan number one, who is, we have, a, I guess officially, even though we've talked about it a bunch of times, announced that you're now president of the podcast network. Have we?
I mean, we did a social post, but we haven't actually.
Like I haven't said.
You haven't come out and said, hey, this is what's going on.
Yes. I guess you posted on social. I'm a president.
Yeah.
Where's my Monica Lewinsky?
Exactly. I haven't found one yet, so.
So, okay, so this is kind of our official conversation about that, where we have a bunch of shows on the network. We have a bunch of shows that we're developing now through the network. And the network started off, I was just doing the Bobbycast, and I mean, it was like 2 or 3 shows, and I'd kind of interwebbed them together. And then it got to 8, I don't even know how many shows we have right now. Like when you walked in, what do we have?
We've cut a few.
Yes.
Can we say that?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Because like Jake Owens, for example, we didn't cut Jake's because I don't like Jake. Jake was like, I don't want to podcast anymore. It's taking too much of his time.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut a few shows because of reasons like that. Where do we stand now? What are the shows that are actively on the network that are already running?
Bobbycast.
1.
4 Things with Amy Brown.
2.
Get Real with Caroline Hobby.
3.
Sore Losers.
4.
Then we also have
Movie Mike. 5.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are the 5 shows that she kind of inherited, and some others that we, like Christian Bush, we cut that one. Not because we don't love Christian.
He just hadn't put,
put an episode forever.
In a long time.
And I think at the time podcasting was just like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we have those shows that we've cut. So now we have 5, but how many shows do you think you're?
Oh my God. Working on?
Yeah. Either you're at different stages, and definitely don't say who, because some of them may not come to fruition. And we hope they all do. But how many shows do you think you're working on now with people, having conversations or creative meetings or now to contract stage?
There are about 6 that we're working on currently off the top of my head.
So almost doubling up.
Yeah.
And are you, yeah. How many are at that last stage where we're almost there?
1 for sure.
Okay. How many are at the brand new stage where it's like, what's up? I'm Morgan. What's your idea?
I would say 2 of those.
And then there are 2 in that middle section.
Correct.
One that I think maybe I've even mentioned offhand, and it's not an official announcement or anything, but I've posted it. Josie, our friend, my friend, close friend, but also my vet, We're going to launch a podcast with her. I think that one's...
We have all of the episodes banked. We've talked about doing 1 or 2 more for this first season, and I have a tentative trailer drop date and a tentative launch date for her.
But I guess
if we can get the...
Is that official? Is that one already signed?
It's not. That's the holdup for... And I don't want to like air anything out. But
be vague.
The legal stuff is what's taking a while because we're recrafting...
The language
you've had language for all of your current pods and the new contract is just different. So it's in legal's hands.
Oh, so it's not even in our hands.
No. Yeah.
Is Josie being difficult? You tell me. I'll call
her. Not at all.
No, Josie, I'll call her right now.
Josie's been so...
I'll fire her and I'll put my voice in where she said everything and it'll be me doing...
Josie has been wonderful. We were actually just going back and forth yesterday on... We finalized her artwork for the show logo and...
So we're waiting on corporate to get final legal to us.
Yes.
You guys are going to love the Josie podcast, whatever it is, whenever it comes out. Unless it never comes out, then it'll be the Bobby Vet podcast with my voice over Josie's voice.
No, it's coming out.
And in one of the episodes, then that means I'll interview me.
Because you are a guest, so that'll be a little inception-y for sure.
Yeah. So we're very far along with some of these shows that are going to be really good. But the shows that are already all working and in production, are you going to a lot of the episodes?
Yeah.
You can't go to Mike's. He does it from his bedroom.
I don't go to Mike's because just the setup, it would be a little weird to show up in his bedroom every day. Hey, Kelsey, you know, his wife. But he's so fine-tuned, he doesn't really need me. He's already doing all the things that I'm wanting to incorporate in the other shows. I have been showing up to Caroline Hobby's Get Real podcast just about every single episode because we have changed a lot.
You built a new set.
We built a new set visually and have just really been working to enhance things that she already had. So she wanted some creative help. Not everybody has wanted that. So I've been really enmeshed with Caroline and that's been great. We've got a ton of great feedback lately. And lots of people reaching out now wanting to come on her pod now that we've started doing the visual element of it, which helps us, getting great guests. So, and then Amy's, I've been going as much as I can for Amy. She was a little slower to want to do video and we have gotten started and I don't know what it is. She's just so a little hesitant and we've talked through it, but baby stepping it and we're getting it done. She's got some on the books that I'm helping her out with, but she doesn't do video for every podcast she does. So
I think she just doesn't want to be on camera or something.
I know. She's like, girl, you look so good.
She's like, I don't know if I look great today.
Yeah.
So those are the shows that you have maybe already heard on the podcast network. Morgan's also taking control of the socials of the Nashville Podcast Network, which is a bit of all the shows.
Yes.
And then every show's Instagram and we all have YouTubes. So, but I feel like it's just been a lot.
It has, because I'm still also managing you as well. So there is a lot going on. I mean, as we record this, we have the $1 million show next week, which is always a huge undertaking. And there's a lot of irons in the fire for sure.
Have you got both paychecks yet?
Yeah.
But is it awesome? Is it crazy?
It has changed my life. I was able to pay off my student loan. I was able to pay off a credit card, and now I'm saving super hard. So yes, it's been really great.
I mean, both paychecks. That's crazy. That's awesome.
It won't go this way forever. I know that, at one point.
You may burn out on one of them or just burn out in general and have to pick one.
Well, I think once we launch so many shows on the podcast network, we'll really have to feel out what makes sense at that point. I mean,
so you're saying you're leaving me to go run the podcast network?
I don't want to. Yeah. I love.
Which is still me.
Exactly. Yeah. But can I say with certainty that won't ever be the case? No, I can't. I can't say that. Maybe in a year we'll feel like it's time for me to move on. We'll see.
How do you feel about Caitlin Clark?
The basketball player?
Do you know another one?
No. You said Caitlin. I was thinking your wife, which I love Caitlin. I like Caitlin Clark a lot. I think. I don't keep up with women's basketball just a ton.
What team did you play for?
Iowa.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that was just a test to see, because I don't either.
She cuts through. She
more than any other female player I've ever seen.
All over my TikTok feed. But she's opening a door because now I'm starting to see more content from other, players. So I'm all for her.
I got a Caitlin Clark college, basically a rookie card. I bought it.
Yeah.
I've been into this memorabilia thing, maybe a little too much into this memorabilia thing, because we're starting to sell it now. But
we're basically sitting in a memorabilia closet right now. The Bobby Cast set has turned into that. So,
yeah,
it's extreme.
And yeah, there's a lot. It's a lot. Even my wife's like, hey, whatever you want to do, have at it.
Someone broke in here.
Yeah. Say that. Why would, don't even say you can't break in here. There are guns in every section of my yard that will shoot you.
There are actually landmines in the yard, so don't even try it.
Exactly. Did you see any of the clips where she's like, Caitlin Clark's like, F you, like, let's F and go. Like, and people will be like, we don't want to see an athlete. Like, have you seen any of that?
Yes.
Isn't it a bit hypocritical of people to say that towards her whenever dudes do it all the time and nobody says a dang word about it?
Absolutely. And I feel like a lot of people I've seen are comparing her to Angel Reese. And like, if Angel Reese was doing this, like, they'd be so, like, much more upset. Like, I hate that it's just trying to, like, pit female players against each other and one is better than the other. It's like, Caitlin Clark is amazing. Angel Reese is amazing. And they're competitors and they're showing up and there's high levels of emotion in those settings.
Yeah, just
and
as a competitor in general, right.
It would be boring to watch.
I love that whomever has fire, even if I don't like the fire, I'm annoyed by it. Like, I love it because it makes you care. It's texture.
And what we always hear is no one cares about women's basketball. It's not as entertaining as men's is what you hear. And,
sure.
And
I would say the reason is because there just isn't as much dunking. Like, it's not as fast. And that's right. That's really what it is. Like, WNBA gets terrible ratings. Nobody goes to the games. It's very, but
I would pay for it. Once Caitlin Clark is in the league, I'll pay for a ticket to go see her play.
It takes a transcendent athlete to change it for things. Right. And I think she'll do that. She has another year that she could play in college, but she's going to go to the draft. And she'll probably be drafted by Indiana's WNBA team.
Okay.
Because they'll have the first pick because they were the worst. Almost positive. And I would never know this if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark, because I do not follow the WNBA in any way whatsoever.
I don't even know what states have teams.
Exactly.
But or where they play.
I bet you'll know once she's drafted what team she's on, which I think it's going to be Indiana's team. But yeah, I really like Caitlin Clark because she has kind of opened, I won't say the door, but she's kind of widened what people will spend a couple minutes on watching on social media or ESPN or whatever. And the reason is because she just shoots the ball from so far away.
Sinks it.
Yeah, I've actually
9 out of 10 times.
Not 9 out of 10.
Okay. Well, it feels that way.
Okay, there comes your non-basketball coming out. I appointment watched a couple Caitlin Clark games. I've never appointment watched a women's basketball game.
So
except for Arkansas games.
You set time aside of.
Well, I would know the game's coming on at 3, so I'd be like, oh, I definitely want to watch Iowa play. I've never done that to any game that wasn't an Arkansas women's basketball game. And that's happened. That happened last year with her.
Yeah.
In the NCAA tournament.
You're tuned in and you want to see what happens.
She's just at
a level I haven't seen.
Yeah. So I got this card sent today. That's what that is.
Okay. Are you going to sell it? Are you going to get her to sign it? Is it signed?
No. It's not signed. Also, I don't know her, so I don't know how I would get her to sign
it. Caitlin, are you listening?
I bet you that she has more media requests.
Oh, for sure.
And she's also the number one NIL maker in all of...
I wonder how much money she's making.
Well, they just guess because they really don't know how much people are making in NIL money in college. They can assume, they can assign value. I do NIL deals with players.
Right.
And it's such the Wild West. Nobody even knows how much I'm paying them. So you would not know how much other people are paying them either. But they speculated she made about $3 million in NIL deals this year.
Good for her.
Which is, of course, yeah. That all that means is she can use her name and image.
She's making more in NIL than she's going to make in the WNBA.
Absolutely. Then. She'll make 90 grand a year, 100 grand a year.
That's all they make.
200 grand a year. Oh, yeah, something like that.
Wow. And I mean, not a bad pay, but right. I mean, very low compared to.
Well, they have very low amount of people that come to games.
Right, I get that.
I mean, if they're just basing it on the revenue they're making, they actually lose money, the WNBA. They get money from the NBA.
Yeah.
To basically fund the WNBA.
Do you think that Caitlin Clark has the appeal that will shift that?
I don't. I don't think there's a single player that does, but I think that it will get more eyeballs on it and then probably allow more young girls to care about playing basketball. I think it changes the culture within a bunch of female athletes.
Agree.
It would be like if there were an American soccer player that were so freaking good that we all were starting to go, we'll call him Jonathan Jones. We got to watch Jonathan Jones because he's killing folks. Now, America, we don't really care about this. We do care, but not really. Not pop culture. You don't see a lot of soccer stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Olympics come around. That's cool. MLS does fine, but really it's a niche. But if there was an American player that was dominating, like a Messi, a Ronaldo, you'd have more people starting to watch and care than you'd have kids be affected by that and go, oh, I want to play soccer. And then better athletes would then start to play soccer and that culture would happen.
Can I tell you something and ask if you felt this way too?
Yeah.
Because this kind of proves your point of she is this kind of player that makes you think this way. Watching her play, I kind of went into my mind of like, oh, I wish I had just gotten into basketball and like I could have balled hard. Like
imagine
I'm
you're
5 foot three.
Imagine you're nine saying that though.
Yeah. Do you ever watch these players who are so good and then you just sort of envision yourself in?
Not anymore.
Okay.
My whole body hurts.
Oh,
now.
Me neither. Got it.
My body hurts from everything.
But you do because you're doing too much access.
Well, that's what
and you're
I'm
literally
saying. And I know
going.
I'm not. I can't.
Honestly,
I go and
though,
do it.
I've gone to a couple of your too much access shoots and you're athletic.
But what? Okay, I guess. I think that was to be said as a compliment. However, I took it as an insult.
No, you're telling me that
hold
your
on.
Body is breaking down.
It is because it hurts after forever. But when you're like, wow, you're athletic. Who knew? That's what I heard.
No, but I'm just saying like Logan Ryan.
Yeah.
I could see the surprise in his eyes when you ran some drills with him of like, oh yeah, he's got it.
I played sports.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to react. I don't know how to feel because
I'm complimenting you.
I know you are, but it doesn't
feel.
Because
you were just downing yourself
no.
And I'm picking you back up saying,
no,
hey.
My body hurts after I do stuff. Like my shoulder still hurts from when we went to Oklahoma State because I threw so much. I got a leg injury. Nothing heals. I'm not saying, but then you're like, no, who knew? You're athletic. God dang. Like,
wife was, but now we know you are too.
Do I just walk into doors? Like, am I so clumsy? I should take that as a compliment. Thank you for
the
compliment.
It's not like I showed up to your high school baseball games. Like, I wouldn't have, I think you're athletic.
But I still have a presentation.
Like, in a golf way. Like, you're good at golf. But now I'm like, oh, he can ball.
But, again, that would mean my presentation of how I just move my body in general seems to be someone who is not athletic.
You're taking my compliment and making it not a compliment.
I agree.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short sleeve moisture wicking pearl snap or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com, Tecovas.com, and don't go gently, y'all.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
So anyway, what else? I did not expect us to sit down here and talk about sports.
No, I was going to ask about Caitlin Clark because I have this card and I would say that...
Can I have it?
No.
Okay.
I would say that I'm a bit of a feminist. Let's say you're very much a feminist in like a progressional way.
Okay.
Like not a 1960s feminist, but I think you are very like, yo, ladies.
Let's do this thing.
Yeah, like stop being like your presentation of being like, oh, I don't know, I'm just a lady, I'm a woman. You're like, no, you're a freaking woman. Let's go. Like, I feel like that's kind of your presentation.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're like, you represent women with opinions, who's not going to be told they shouldn't have that opinion or they should be quiet about their opinion because they might not be a dude.
Right. It's funny you bring this up like a day after me and Lunchbox like have just a complete falling out.
So Lunchbox, who I don't know, we've been together longer than anybody, 18, 19 years. At times, which Lunchbox in his heart is a nice guy, is a kind guy. He tends to get angry, like rageful when he competes, not competitive, but rageful, or when new people come in and he feels like they're stealing his thunder or he has to take any sort of direction from anybody new. Does not like it. Will fight it. The video that I saw, I thought was when you were executive producer of the show, just at how that you guys were sitting in the studio, so I thought it was the old studio, where he was like, I never wanted to do what you told me. You came in, you didn't know anything. I thought that was old because that's how I used to treat you back in the day.
No, that was like...
Okay, that's my whole setup. That's what my mind was. I need you to tell me what happened then.
So, where to begin? Basically, a week or so ago, I've been working with the Sore Losers to try and get them an updated logo, right? They've not liked theirs. They've not liked any of the ones that have been made up to this point. And I worked with the iHeart team to get them a logo and send it over to them, and it wasn't good. And I just texted the guys the logo and said, hey, like, if you're wanting someone to draw you guys and nail it, we may have to outsource and pay somebody. And instead of, like, giving me proper feedback, like, I turned on the Sore Losers podcast the next day, and Lunchbox had brought it up on their pod and was like, we get this new president in here and she says she's gonna do stuff and then she sends us this, you know, and it just wasn't like,
what was his issue with you saying what?
It was with the logo, but I just felt an energy about it of like, it felt like there's some unresolved tension between us and the way he explained how I brought the logo to them and I wasn't making things happen the way he wanted it to.
So another side story is, well, first of all, their logo has been changed. And so they've just been using an abbreviated version of their old logo.
Right.
Which, I mean, they could have paid somebody $150. Because they actually make money. Their own money based on streams. Yeah. Based on, like, there's an investment that goes in to shows if they want to put an investment in. If not, we...
It's your choice. We can use the in-house people. It's very normal to outsource certain things when you want something specific.
So... I saw their logo of those two little men on the basketball. Yeah. And I remember calling Eddie and I was like, dude, the Sore Losers have the greatest logo.
I made that.
Had no idea. I called Eddie and was like, they have the best logo. This is awesome. And then you had said something about a logo and I said, whoever made their new logo, that's like the coolest logo I've ever seen for like a basketball logo. And we have our own Bobbycast logo of a thing on a basketball. We made it with clip art.
Yeah.
And you were like,
we should probably update that.
No, I like it because it's old and looks crappy.
Okay.
But okay, whatever. And I remember saying, that logo is so good. Not knowing who made it, why they made it. I was just a little jealous of the person they found to make it.
Well, that was literally me mocking something up in Canva to send to Lunchbox and Ray to be like, hey, is this sort of in line with what you're thinking?
Did they like it?
They did. And then I sent that to iHeart to mock up a new design. And I don't think they love the one that iHeart sent back. So we're still kind of in this limbo stage.
So where did the drama come in with the logo then? Because I thought...
I just felt like the first batch, I can show you what it looked like, that they sent wasn't good. And I just kind of felt like the way that Lunch portrayed it, and maybe I'm wrong in this, but I feel like the way that Lunch portrayed it was that, oh, we get this president here who's supposed to be making things happen, and then she can't, you know, get us a good logo. This is the first one they sent.
Can you walk it over here? Yeah. Reed, come in. We're recording, but you can come in.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, there's... Okay. Okay. Is there another one, or is this the only one? Oh, he put it up to be like, this sucks.
Yeah, and they did a whole bit about how bad it was.
But why is he blaming you when you're the one that changed the first logo and then sent it off to go, can we get some options? Because
he claimed afterwards he wasn't really blaming me, but the way I felt I was portrayed was definitely not super positive.
What would have been funny, what I would have done, is I would have said, we're being forced to use this logo, and I would have made a big deal about getting people to go look at the logo, even if I didn't like it, and been like...
He definitely made a bit out of it. Yeah. I just kind of felt like I was incorporated.
You feel like it was personal?
I felt like there was some residual tension, which is kind of what comes full circle in the 2 days ago we had a hashing out of the beef kind of deal.
Okay, well, and then I would have said, okay, if we get... like 10,000 likes on this Instagram, then I would use people to get to Instagram to be followers. And that's, if we get 10,000 likes, the company says they'll make us a new one. And then we can go from it.
Yeah.
That would have probably been my strategy to get Instagram followers. I would have asked for a worse one though, honestly.
Yeah, because that one's kind of funny.
I would have said, hey, can you make this a little worse? And then I'd be like, the stupid company, I wouldn't have talked about you. Are they making us use this image? I don't want to use it, but if you... And then I would have got to move to social media, got followers, had likes, and then slowly brought out a better one. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that didn't happen. And instead, whatever this tension was kind of manifested into a fight on air.
Well, I hit Lunchbox and Ray on our group text after. And I was like, hey, I heard the pod today, and I would rather us just communicate through your issues rather than hearing your feedback on the podcast. And... basically 2 days ago at the studio was the first opportunity Lunchbox and I had to actually speak in person. I was
on air.
Like, I was grabbing my bags and Ray saw me and called me into the studio, and then it just sort of organically went from there. And he aired his grievances, basically said
what grievances
he didn't like. He thought I was disrespectful to him when I worked on the morning show. He thought that I...
On the morning show, is that what you're talking about? That's what happened.
Yeah, he I was like, I kind of feel like you just don't like me.
Anybody new.
And yeah. But I'm not new anymore.
No, I know. I'm sure he held on to that.
So I was like, yeah, I just sort of feel tension, like you don't...
You're
like
younger than
me.
Him, too, and you were the boss.
Yeah, and he went into all that of how he thought I was disrespectful and I mishandled things, and I was a bad choice for that job, and I was too young.
You were a bad choice for the job?
Yeah. I mean, he said, I thought you were the wrong choice for the job, and basically he didn't want to take... he didn't look at me as authority, and he didn't want to do anything I said. And he brought up two instances, and one of them I remembered, and I definitely had a different version of events than he had and whatever. But the second event, I have literally no recollection of. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm just saying I can't fill in the blanks of his story. I know the first version of the story that I could remember, he told about 75% of it. And the way I remember, and 25% of important context wasn't there. So I just, you know, we're two people that have butted heads, and I want to be on good ground with Lunchbox. Like, I know he's not here to defend himself right now. Like, it's just, I think that he has, even after we had that talk, I just sort of feel like he harps on how disrespectful I was, but he's so disrespectful the whole time he's talking to me about him, me being disrespectful. didn't deserve the job. You're bad at it. Matter of fact, you're a president. I don't even know what that means. Like, he's kind of like backhanding what I do now. So it's like, just because you don't know what it is, like, take a breath, man.
We can hear the whole conversation on their podcast.
Oh yeah, you can hear it on the podcast. They also put the video up on YouTube. Go check it out. Mm-hmm. Viewed video.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
And so. Well, I'm sorry you had to go through that.
No.
Especially when it's a, hey, you got your bag, come in here. And
I really, truly, and I told Lunchbox this, I want to be on good terms, and I want us to work alongside each other for a common goal. I just sometimes feel like he has made up his mind, and that's just where he's going to live. And I hope we can get past that.
What's crazy is you were so the wrong person for that job when you're executive producing that we became a massive show under you being executive producer. And then Scuba got to come in and to go take it to the next level. But you did such a good job that I moved you to what I felt was like a harder job mm-hmm. of you having to manage 74 things at once. Like our show wouldn't have gone from level zero to level whatever it was without you being the executive producer of that show. And that job has a lot of challenges, obstacles that people have no idea about.
Yeah.
Right. But he has the sales of, you did such a good job that you were one of the main reasons the show survived that terrible first 4 years.
That really means a lot to hear you say that. And I will say I wasn't perfect at it. I was young. There were learning curves. And I told Lunchbox this, like I was young and I had to learn some things and how to manage people. But one thing that I'm so proud of, and I know that it was a group team effort, we won our first CMA award the year that I stepped in and started producing.
Of course.
And was the first time like I put together yeah. the sound check that we send it. And I know that there's so many different things that go into that, but I worked so hard on the show. And so to just have that moment with Lunchbox a few days ago where he's like, yeah, you weren't good for it. And like, I'm like, man, like that is just discrediting all of the blood, sweat, and tears that I put in. Maybe I wasn't perfect 100% of the time. Who is? But
I'm not perfect for it, for what I'm doing. Nobody's perfect. So just a quick Elena transitioned the show over from Austin to Nashville. She was that version of that producer. When you came in,
she trained me on so much and is yeah, pivotal.
And you were also an assistant producer. It wasn't like we just brought you in as executive producer and like, here's somebody who's never been here. You freaking answer the phones. Your assistant, you moved up the ladder.
I was the phone screener, yeah. but I was doing everything yeah. with Elena aside from just answering phones.
And when we took our most growth as a, not as a show that was syndicated a lot of places, but as a show that actually had some strength to actually make change in things, it was while you were producing the show. So I would just say that, and I'm the only one that matters here on this situation, that is just inaccurate. He just had no idea what you were doing and had probably a problem with you being younger than him.
Yeah, I think he just kept harping that he didn't look at me as authority, and I never thought I was trying to choke down anybody's throat that I was authority. I think I was just trying to, you know, there were directives I had to give and lead in some cases. And
which is uncomfortable sometimes.
It is uncomfortable. Yeah. But anyway, all that to say.
Go listen to the podcast.
Go listen. Yeah. And Lunchbox, I hope this doesn't make him more mad. Like, I want to be on good terms. I feel like.
And Lunchbox is a kind guy.
He has so much good
yeah.
in him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this instance, obviously. But we've talked about it on the show. As a general reality, anybody that comes in new, Eddie, Morgan, too. I mean, there's always issues at first.
Yeah.
Always.
And Lunch?
Always.
We can go onward and upward, buddy. We can.
No, I hope so. You've been focused a lot. The first videos I saw that you were doing of them mm-hmm. were like, I don't know, promo videos.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I don't think they've felt like they've gotten a ton of attention, and I just want them to feel like they're important in the mix because they are.
I would say, but what attention? You have to get your own attention.
Exactly.
If you're not pushing your own horn, mm-hmm. I mean, you have, what attention for anybody?
Squeaky wheel, man.
And not even squeaky wheel. Just go and create your own path and drive down it that people want to come and help you.
That's what I don't want to happen, though. I don't want him to continue to sort of box me out. And then I'm like, well,
I'm not saying box it out, but even with I'll give an example, like too much access. Mm-hmm. I was just like, screw it. I'm just going to go do this. Nobody is going to let me. I'm not known as a sports guy. No sports people are helping me. I'm just going to go and beg. And I sent Jerry Jones an email out of nowhere. You just have to go and do crap.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to work for a long time.
That's my mentality. It's why I set up that separate studio. It's like, I'm not going to wait.
Set.
I'm not going to
yeah.
wait for someone
with
to
your
do
own,
it.
With your own equipment.
And I bought all that.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just hoping that everybody else can take a couple notes in that, and when you want something, just start figuring out the steps and moving.
And I think they will. And I think this, go listen to their podcast. We're trying to drive numbers over there too. We're building drama, so you can go check out their
so much controversy,
their video and their podcast.
The Bobby Cast. We'll be right back.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. A great pair of Western boots will elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they'll last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. They offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or fine leather goods. And stay cool in short sleeve, moisture wicking pearl snap, or make your own shade with one of their classic straw hats, new in both men's and women's styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com. And don't go gently, y'all.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
This is the Bobbycast.
Reed's here too. Reed, how you doing, buddy? Does your mic work? Can you turn it on for a minute?
Check 1, 2. Hello.
You don't have to say check 1, 2. You can just say hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm uploading the DraftKings Network episode that's going up today.
Video? Oh, no. The TV show.
Yeah, the TV show, yeah.
Got it. Your Wi-Fi didn't work at home?
So it's weird. I have to upload it to their network, and for some reason on my Wi-Fi, it says access denied, but it works for your Wi-Fi.
Are you doing it now?
Yeah.
What do you think about Morgan?
I love Morgan. As soon as I came in, she was so nice to me. And
today?
Well, yeah, today specifically, yeah.
Just today. Never before now.
No, she's always been great to me, and she made me feel comfortable joining the crew and everything like that. And I could just tell she worked hard from the beginning, too. I could tell she was like, she was relaxing and helps people, but she's also a go-getter and motivated.
Thank you, Reed.
Did you get enough sleep last night?
I did.
Yeah, you look rested.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look like you're still asleep, actually.
Yeah, just a little bit.
how late did you sleep?
I slept until 8:30.
Oh, that's good. That's all right, then.
It felt good.
Yeah.
It felt real good.
Okay, well, Reed, what has been your experience working in this organization in general? Because you do a lot, mm-hmm. right? I mean, sometimes you're up helping the morning show even.
Yeah.
Obviously, shooting the podcast, shooting Too Much Access. Like, what did you expect whenever you got the job versus what's happening now?
Honestly, I didn't really know what to expect, which I kind of like that aspect because I knew I dabbled in a bunch of different areas creatively, like photography and videography and Photoshop and all that stuff. So I was ready to dive into whatever you needed me to do. But The greatest thing has been the problem solving. It's like, I feel like I'm always having to figure new things out and be quick with figuring those things out and putting out the content quickly and stuff like that. So that's been the best, I guess, the best help for me to build myself up, because...
For your next job, for your resume.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, for me, because, like, you know, doing stuff on my own timeline and stuff like that, I'm not really, like, I'm just kind of in my own head. But when it comes to somebody else and trying to perfect what they see, like, you know, you coming at me with the different edits and stuff like that, you just see things in your head how you want them, and I want them to be how you imagine them in your head.
What's been the hardest part about the job?
I would say the not having a perfect structure of work. How it's just, it could, like, the schedule could change at any moment in time. So not, basically just not being able to, know at a certain time I'm going to be done working to make a plan for something else. Even though most of the time, all the time, I ask you if I could do something, you're like, yeah, go for it. But mainly just the worry that I'm going to make a plan and then something big is going to happen and I'm going to have to, like, say no to somebody or something like that.
You're like a firefighter, dude.
He checked in with me 2 solid months before his proposal to Maddie to just make sure we could block those dates.
Yeah, and then it came up on my calendar. It was like, secret.
Top secret.
Read. you like your job?
I freaking love my job, dude. It is the greatest thing ever. The connections I've got to make, the things I've got to do, and traveling, and just, I feel like I am able to put all the work that I put in as a kid and throughout high school and stuff like that, I'm able to actually, like, justify myself by showing what I can do with this job, because a lot of people are able to see my work and stuff like that. So it's, man, it's been a huge blessing.
What's Eddie like behind the scenes?
So at first, I had no idea Eddie was Hispanic. Like, I grew up listening to y'all on the radio show.
I love that's where you start.
I know. Well, it's just
well, the
so
thing
funny.
Is, Eddie just said a couple days ago, people think he's white before they see him.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, you know, going to school and in college and stuff, I'd listen to you guys, and I had no idea that Eddie was Hispanic. So when I first saw him, he introduced himself, and I recognized his voice, and he said Eddie, and I was like, man, you're different than I imagined you looking. But Eddie's amazing. He's also one of those guys that will just make you feel right at home, and just great personality and just super, super happy all the time. I don't think I've ever seen him.
Dude, I'm
happy.
Telling you. And I have, but only because it's my best friend and I've seen him, like, go through little struggles. But generally, he's like the most arrow pointing up dude I've ever met.
Yeah.
Like, consistently, he's just like, all right, yeah. Let's just go.
Like, it could be a rough morning. We had just flown from somewhere, got back earlier, and he's like, what's up, Reed? Like,
and we'll cut this in a second, but what about Kevin?
Kevin is really awesome as well. He was a good one because he kind of came in around the same time I did, so we were both kind of new, and we hit it off that way. But Kevin is just, man, Kevin's a go-getter. You can tell he's motivated to do anything and everything that he puts his mind to.
Steady, solid, mm-hmm. Like a real foundation. And it's like, hey, let's track this down. And God dang it, he's going to track him down or he's going to die trying.
No, it's crazy.
Like, he figures stuff out
sure.
In a different way.
That's crazy.
Mike D,
like you always say, he's a silent assassin, man. He's like, he's always problem solving. And if any of us run into any situation, he's always got the right answer. He's always the guy that's putting things together and making sure they run smoothly. But Mike D is also very positive and genuine. He just doesn't speak up most of the time.
Or speak at all.
Yeah,
speak up
or speak
down.
At all.
Yeah,
like,
he just
I remember
doesn't speak.
He, this is also kind of when I started, I guess y'all for the show got tickets to the wrestling event that was at Nissan Stadium. And of course, not many people were going, but he hit me up and he was like, hey, I got tickets to this. Like, would you want to go? And I was like, yeah, of course. So me and Mike D went and watched some wrestling at Nissan Stadium and it was amazing.
It's an unfair question. I'm sitting in front of you. It's a tough one. Cause I'm not just going to go, what about me? Cause that's all glowing and amazing. Obviously. Cause you have to say that I'm your boss. What's different about what expectation did you have versus the reality?
I will say I was expecting you to be very, very intimidating and very like if you screw up once, like you better figure it out or else.
That's 5 years ago, me. So you got in.
Yeah,
right. You got in at the right time.
No, that's what that's what people said. They're like, man, after he married Caitlin, he's different. And so that probably was my big expectation when I would screw up something or miss an edit or something like that, I'd be like, oh boy. Like, I'm probably about to be grilled on this. And you know, I mean, you let me know when I need to be more careful on things. But, you know, you're gentle, you know?
I don't have an expectation of anybody that I don't have on myself.
For sure.
Which is also unhealthy because I'd be like, you can't screw up. But also to myself, I'd be like, you can't screw up, loser. Then I beat myself with a belt over my back. Mm-hmm. But the buckle part.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But you also recognize, like, we all make mistakes.
Especially in an art-driven world where you're having... Sure. Yes. Reid tried to, like, make me lose money on a paid manning jersey last night.
What?
I'm going to conclude with this. Reid and I are doing trying to sell all this stuff back on eBay because we're shooting a docuseries on memorabilia. And Reed's like, okay, let's post a Peyton Manning jersey. Let's post a George Kittle. And said, okay, how much are they going for on eBay? Like, let's just figure out and we'll just fairly list them. And he goes, Peyton Manning, $500, George Kittle, $300. And I thought to myself, well, that seems a little cheap. So I went and looked myself and it was like Peyton Manning goes for like $900 or $1,000 and George Kittle. And I'm like, Reed, you cost me like $500, man.
Yeah, I missed the custom.
So then I beat him with a belt.
Yeah.
I had him come over and I beat him with a belt.
We'll crop this
afterward.
Part out.
Yeah. Okay. Morgan, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
This is our official announcement. Morgan is the president of the network. Also, our official announcement that Reed, if you missed it, had the cops called on him because he went up to the wrong old guy and wanted a thank you for paying for his meal earlier when it wasn't the same old guy.
It wasn't a thank you. He said that he was handicapped and he couldn't go in and order. And then I see him walking around a mall.
Guess what? Not the same old guy.
Probably not. Most likely not.
And so you
wanted the smoke after that. You're like, sir.
Yeah, just, no, really,
you're
he
supposed
did.
To be.
I just wanted him to admit.
Yeah.
But the guy couldn't admit it because he never said he was handicapped. It's not the same guy.
Was he like, sir, we've never met.
Tell him what he said.
No, that's what I expected. But he was just like, I started to talk about it, and he was just like, nope, nope, nope. And just started like running away.
He thought Reed was like trying to scam him or something.
I would too.
Me too.
I feel like he was a super tall child.
I took that as this is the guy for sure. He's trying to run.
Which wasn't the case, I don't think.
Reed, I would never in a million years see you being the person seeking out some controversy, but...
To be fair, my dad was like, you should go up and just see if that's him. I was like, it's not that big of a deal.
Stop listening to
that. He puts on his dad now. Okay, thank you all. This is our announcement. Reed is now the president of selling Peyton Manning jerseys for cheap, and Morgan is...
$20 on eBay.
Yes.
Come get them.
The official president, which he has been now for months, of the Nashville Podcast Network, which I think we're going to end up changing the name of anyway.
Yeah, we need to talk about that list of names.
One of them she wants to call... Have you heard the new nickname?
No.
She wants to name the network Reed's Network.
I like that. Yeah. Or just Reed.
But spelled R-E-A-D?
Yeah, exactly.
With a photo of Reed as our main
logo. Of you reading a book.
Reed
reading. All right, we got to go. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Tecovas boots are always made from premium bovine and exotic leathers, and with occasional resoling, they will last a lifetime. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. Visit Tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. And don't go gently, y'all.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, Let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.